Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And we are joined by the incomparable, the
I think he died.
What if the whole episode was just this? Just him going this.
Yeah, I think it might be. Oh. I think it'd be in it. Oh, he ran out of breath.
I did that thing where I'm going flat. I gotta like think high. That's great. I like reverted it back to it's
can
Josh.
Can I have a match?
Hey.
Or a lighter?
So we're talking about candles.
Do you have a lighter?
We got candles. So shout out Cowboys and Astronauts. Is that the place we went to today?
Yeah. We didn't get candles there, though.
No. We didn't. What did you got a gift. That's right.
I was going to say,
we didn't spend any money anywhere today, but we went to like a bunch of different little shops today. What's up?
Can I get a lighter?
There is not a lighter over here.
All right, I'm going to go look for a lighter.
Yeah, it's going to be in the... It's going to be with the sage.
Okay.
Yeah. We smudge.
Yeah.
Specifically after poop.
Yeah, to get rid of the poop ghosts.
You got to get rid of the poop ghosts. So, I've been, like, super into candles lately. We've bought, like, 4 candles in the last 2 weeks.
I love it.
For some reason.
Well, this time of year, it's so nice to sit at home. Especially because now is the time of year when I like, refuse to leave. I say that not having been home one night in the last like 6 nights. But yeah. I swear I refuse to leave and I like to sit at home with candles. So I understand that. I discovered, so a couple weeks ago, I went on a whole thing. I was like, I don't have any seasonal candles anymore. I need to get something that's, now that it's fall, whatever. I spent a little bit too much money at Target on candles I didn't care for. And then I was going home and bumped into, there was TJ Maxx. And I was like, oh, let me just go in. Their candle selection was very good.
Really?
And cheap.
Really?
I got really good candles at TJ Maxx.
That's the thing with candles is like, I want more, but they're like... I always end up
you don't want to like blow your hope.
Like $25.
Yeah. So
hey, Josh,
yeah.
Is this your plate?
No.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
That is my plate.
Like as an ownership. I thought you were calling out Josh for leaving a dirty plate.
No, it is a plate that I own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll take it back on Sunday.
Okay. Cool.
On Sunday.
Well, because I'll have other plates with me, it'll make sense. And whatever. Oh, yeah. I guess I have. It doesn't matter. Anyway. That's my plate, that the candles are. But yeah, so TJ Maxx had good candles. I love just bougie stores with stupid expensive candles. I was in Salem, Massachusetts with my parents for a wedding over the summer. And we stopped.
There's only one Salem, right? That's the Salem?
That's the Salem, but I'm sure there's other towns called Salem. But Salem, yeah. Massachusetts is the witch trial, yeah. Salem. And they had all these, you know, Salem is a big tourist town. Well, it's becoming... More commuters live there now, but they have a lot of like touristy shops, mm-hmm. and I'd say the real estate there is expensive enough. It's by the water. It's very pretty, mm-hmm. but there are stores that are just like, this store has 6 candles and that's it. And how do they afford their rent? I don't understand. But also, I want to buy those candles, and I guess that's how.
Yeah, no, I often wonder that about like boutique-y.
You know what candle spots. Is always surprising to me that it's so popular is the tobacco candle. But I just feel like I know so many people that complain about cigarettes.
Yeah, but the tobacco candles don't smell like cigarettes.
But I just...
No, because even a lot of like men's colognes and stuff have notes of tobacco.
Yep.
I know this because this is a very funny, fun fact about me. I wear the same 1 or 2 colognes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I own a billion.
Really?
I love buying new cologne. I spend too much money. Well, I don't buy it anymore, but I have a ton. And I have little samples of like a billion different kinds. And what's funny is I mostly just wear my 1 or 2 of the same ones.
I used to wear perfume every day. But I like only one kind of perfume.
Right.
And it's too expensive for me to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that perfume. It's Armani Code.
Mm-hmm.
I've worn it since high school, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I always go to Sephora with my mom,
mm-hmm.
and because she wants to buy makeup or something, I'm like, I'm going to go smell all the colognes, but I never like them. I just like the super expensive boutique-y things, and that's like the worst.
I know.
It was really fun when I went to France. Because they have all the small Nice. I was walking along and found one of my favorite colognes of all time. And you know what? It wasn't even that expensive.
You know, speaking of boutique stuff. So like we said, we went into this store in Andersonville called Cowboys and Astronauts.
Mm-hmm. It just opened like 4 days ago.
Yeah. And the guy, his name was Matt, is so, so cool. He lives like down the street from us, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's like this awesome, like queer owned, like men's lifestyle store. And it was very, very like such a nice guy. So like thoughtfully researched because he didn't want it to have like a lot of toxic masculinity in its vibe. So like there's he's very like keeping it very inclusive in its execution and what they offer, both in size and also in just like a variety of offerings. It's a mm-hmm. really cool spot. Anyway, we were talking about inclusivity, and he was talking about how he initially wasn't going to offer apparel, but that, you know, now he's offering it, but he's offering like not a lot of options in terms of like individual pieces, but mm-hmm. offering a lot of sizes of them.
I like that.
Yes.
That's smart.
Yes. And he's also taking this opportunity of like being open and like, you know, having kind of folks just trickling in and like talking to people about what they want, like folks of different sizes, folks of different like identities and stuff like that. And he said that he talked to like a 3X sized man the other day about what kind of clothes he's looking for, and he's gonna like start doing research based on like what he said. And you know, he wants like smaller sized men, like X, like 2X small, like, you know, extra small to like come in and talk about what kind of stuff they want.
Now, this is just one of the many reasons to support small local businesses. Yeah, that's like I think we've probably talked about the Target they're opening in my neighborhood before.
Fuck Target.
And now there's part of me that, of course, is enamored with the convenience, since there's no hardware stores near me and no like Radio Shacky kind of things.
Devon Hardware
isn't that close to me. I mean,
it's on Clark.
Yeah, but
it's actually pretty far from him.
Yeah, but no, but I mean, yeah, no, I'll go places like that. But so I'm like enamored with that. But then again, but I don't like it because it's gonna come and hurt, because people, lazy fucks like me, will go there. And but I mean, I support my local supermarket. It's my favorite.
For sure,
Morris Market's my favorite place on the planet. I got like enough food for the week for $25 yesterday.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, and the produce is always so fresh.
Yeah, and I got like the best butternut squash of my life. But this is a reason to support small businesses, because those big corporations, yeah, some of them will like make a little bit of an effort, but they can't do something like this. Mm-hmm. They can't ask their neighbors, hey, what do you want? Like, what kind of clothing can I get for you?
Yeah.
And that's something that's like really remarkable. I love that.
No, and what I also loved is, you know, I was talking to him basically, you know, sharing my like plight as a plus size woman, that in my neighborhood in Andersonville, there is not a clothing store that I can walk into and like pick up a shirt.
Yeah.
You know, there was a store that used to have plus size offerings, but about a year ago they got rid of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a total fucking bummer. And it sucks, because if there was a store around here that had my size, other than the thrift store, I would go in there all the time. Right. I would spend all my extra money there, and it would be a bad thing.
Right. So it's good and bad that it's not
there. Exactly. No, I mean, like, kind of thank God that there's not something that I can walk to.
But at the same time, there kind of should be.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just... And, like, he heard, you know, obviously it's a men's lifestyle store, so they're not going to have just, like, a Maureen rack, nor should they. But it's just, like...
No, I think they should.
It's just, like, a back room full of shit that I want. Mm-hmm. Just, like, my Amazon wish list, but in the back of a men's mm-hmm. lifestyle store. That'd be sick.
My Amazon wish list is in the back of a different kind of men's lifestyle store. Buzzing!
Nice. Nice. Sex.
Yep. No, I was what? Wait, what are you talking about?
Soundboard. I was picturing the like the that joke that every comedian has where they're like, it's the morning zoo format show. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Mark Maron's done that bit like 3 times on his own show, and then like I don't know.
Oh, like the format of 2 men and a shocked woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk? We should talk a little bit about men in comedy.
We should. I'm going to. This doesn't need to be on air, but what candle is that? It's so nice.
It's, we actually talked about it on Sounding Board yesterday.
It is really nice. It's the Trader Joe's $3 yes! Cedar Balsam.
What?
Cedar
Balsam, $3? Right?
$3.
I'm going to
Run, yeah. Don't walk.
Oh, God. Honestly, though. I love that store so much.
I felt super...
Let's recap our Trader Joe's raid.
I feel super, like... shitty about being like, oh yeah, we have a radical podcast, but like, how about Trader Joe's, right? Because we basically just did like a giant like self-care support bullshit. Local.
oh, you're talking, yeah. No, we just spent too much money at Trader Joe's.
We spent that store, though.
$60 at Trader Joe's, which like all told is really not that much, because we got like 10 different things of chocolate. We got
a lot of chocolate.
Josh came in and I was like, have some chocolate. Which fun.
I said, yes.
Because we didn't have any chocolate for Halloween.
We had none. We had no Halloween chocolate. Candy.
No Halloween candy at all. So that's kind of where I was at. And
we got flowers. We got two different kinds of marshmallows. We got cereals. Yes. Mm-hmm. We got cream cheese.
I've just been, cheese. Yeah, fuck with, I love cream cheese. It's so good.
Me too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff for not a lot of money, honestly. We got flowers. We got two kinds of flowers. Mm. Speaking of which, you gotta water those flowers.
they're up there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about men in comedy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could.
I think it's worth touching on. I mean, my quick spiel on it is that none of it's remotely surprising. Well, first of all, it's not surprising because women have been talking about this for a year.
Yeah,
literally fucking forever.
Especially with Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about this last time?
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, this is coming out of my mouth and it's feeling very familiar. We did talk about this.
We did talk about this on the last episode.
Let's talk about something else then. Sorry, everybody, that was really looking forward to that conversation. Go listen to last week.
Although we can say that Louis C.K. did issue a really lame half-assed apology, so good for you, Louis C.K.
Yeah. No, I saw there was a magazine
that went through it. Totally talked about this in last week's episode. Totally did, because I was just going to say again that it looked like a lawyer.
It went through a lawyer.
Oh. Well, cool.
Our thoughts remain the same.
Our thoughts have not changed in the last week.
Our convictions have not wavered.
Yep.
No. Louis C.K.
Trash human.
Trash
human. Still trash human.
But also, like, making jokes about masturbation forever. It's like, surprise, he was a terrible person.
But like, that's the whole thing about, like, there's all these, like, gross male comics that all do the same bit. They all do the, using a microphone as my penis bit, whatever. And then they all turn out to be trash bags. Weird, who knew?
Yeah, really.
They're just exactly. It's just like with Trump, like, doing what he said. Oh, he's doing what he said he would do. Oh, no.
And you're like, there's the thing for me.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah, that's all of the people. I remember having a conversation around Christmas time with someone with some older person where they were like, "Oh, well, he just said all of that to get elected, and he's going to do different things." Nope. No, he didn't.
I forget. There was some meme going around like a year ago, like the I voted for the cheetah eating my face party, but I didn't think it was going to eat my face.
Yeah.
You
see that they put out articles of impeachment for Trump today?
No.
Who did?
The Dems. Some of the Dems. It was like on ABC News. I don't know.
Oh.
Are you going to be okay, Danny? You look pained.
I have to sneeze, I think. And I'm also just kind of like, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I just think it,
can we do any more product placements? I have to sneeze. Good thing I got these tissues at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Wow, they've really sold out constantly asking for, sponsor us, please. What do you want us to mention? We'll mention it. Okay, I've got something that I know
is going to
fire you and Josh, me and Josh up, and potentially maybe Maureen.
Oh, boy.
That was
is it a match? Hey!
I'm less flammable than you two.
Well,
it's a fact.
Women are 50% less flammable.
I think it's something that we didn't talk about last time and is in like within the one of the news cycles of the last week, which was the article on the high A flat.
I will murder you.
Well, no, and I think it's, you know, I...
We did talk about this.
Did we?
I think so.
Yes. No, I don't think we did.
Or did we just talk about it as humans with friends?
I think we just talked about it. I think we talked about it off mic.
We definitely talked about it off mic. We definitely. Well, because I think we
just talked about it in five different Facebook conversations, y'all.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to talk about the high A flat.
Okay. Are we going to have any?
Yeah.
You're going to all hear about the things that we're not talking about.
Yeah. It's been 15 minutes already.
We can talk about some candles. Some more.
Do you want to talk about Slack?
Yeah, let's talk about Slack. Yes. No, it's so fucking funny. So I temp at all these goddamn tech firms and stuff, and everyone's so obsessed with Slack, and it's hilarious because it's just like a repackaged instant messenger.
Oh,
and
I know.
Everyone goes, which is funny because AIM just went under recently, didn't they?
Yeah.
They just canned it, and it's like, that format's dead. Wait, no. Here's Slack. And it's nothing different than what, if anyone's an online gamer here, TeamSpeak and Mumble, whenever.
Discord.
Or Discord, exactly. And everyone has their own channels and their own whatever. It's the same fucking shit. But it's nicely packaged. I love using it. That's mm-hmm. All that said, it's great. You know?
Yeah.
No, we just set up a Slack network for, or channel, I guess, for Scoppy. To figure out.
Josh, you need to get on to my D&D campaign Slack channel.
There's only so much. Fine. So I'm using Slack at work, and here's the fun thing, you use it at work, and then you just go, plop, and add another channel on. And you're like, I'm instant messaging at work.
See, that's what I love about it, is that we can get people involved in it who are, like, at work.
Because I can't really Facebook at work, but
no.
I can
Slack. Yeah,
it's been really helpful. We're working a ton on website development because we're moving our website from Weebly over to WordPress, which is exciting for us because we're basically going to be able to release an entirely new website on December 1st, which we haven't made a Facebook event for yet, but we're doing an entire thing.
We're going to have a big party.
Yep. At the Bean.
At the first at sip. At the Bean.
The fucking Bean. Yeah. No, not at the Bean.
Did we talk about Bean events on the
Yes.
Had to.
We have to have, right?
We've had like 3 questionable internet opinions recently.
Yeah, that's true. So we've talked about everything. Here's something I want to talk about. No, I said that and then immediately forgot what it was. Never mind. It'll come back to me.
I want to sink my teeth into something. I always feel so good after we do that and like have a really good, like really deep, and you know, planning, like thinking about that beforehand, but you know.
But why would we do that? I mean, we can talk about you had an idea for someone to talk about, the Eminem thing?
Yeah, I did.
I gotta say, I'm just not a big Eminem fan.
I am not either, partially because he's disgusting.
Yeah.
100% because he's the worst. Well, first of all, I didn't think a day would come when I was disappointed in Beyonce.
Yeah, so...
And it's here.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Eminem recently, he released a new single?
Yeah, maybe an album.
Yeah.
But this is the single, whatever.
Yeah, it's a single from possibly an album that features Beyonce.
And Beyonce sounds great.
I mean, of course she does.
But I was like, this is a track about a white man complaining that no one's listening to him anymore. Like, that's basically the whole thing, right? And he says, I don't even want to say this word. He calls something retarded.
What?
I was just like, that wasn't necessary. And also, it just bothers me that Beyonce would be on this track in general because he's, like, such a problematic kind of, like, homophobic, disgusting piece of garbage.
Yeah. He really is. And you know something? You know, I like hip-hop a lot, and I've been listening to hip-hop for a really long time. And the people that are always trying to talk to me about how great Eminem is as a rapper are white dudes. I've never had black folks that I, like, know, listen to hip-hop as well and talk to about hip-hop, tell me that they like Eminem. That's, like, never happened.
I feel like his favorite topic is domestic violence. Like, yes, he's not a good person to listen to. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there are some hip-hop artists where I'm like, man, I really wish you'd use the B-word less. Like, whatever, this is a really good track. Like, I'll get over it. But, like, Eminem, dude, literally, like, some of his albums are literally just, like, a series of how he, like, wishes he could take his, like, specifically about his ex-wife.
Right.
Like, putting her in the trunk of his car and, like, throwing her off a bridge in Detroit. And
that is only cute if you're the Dixie Chicks.
It stops. I loved that song.
Goodbye Earl is still the
best.
Oh
my god, I loved that song.
Guys, I unabashedly love the Dixie Chicks. Always have, always will. Always.
I'm with you there. Yeah, right? The Dixie Chicks are great.
And I think the thing that was interesting to me was that freestyle that he put out. Because, like, I love me a good freestyle. The freestyle was fucking trash. But the thing that was interesting about it is that there... And to the point of that Eminem is secretly trash, there's a lot of overlap of Donald Trump fans and Eminem fans, apparently.
No, there's not, really.
But didn't Eminem come out against Trump? Didn't he do it?
Exactly.
The freestyle was against Trump. That's right.
So that was kind of like
an
important thing to have happen of, like... Look, if you're my fan and you like Donald Trump, you're not my fan anymore. Which I get that, but also he's a terrible person.
Yeah, you can't like Donald Trump, but you can like beating up women.
Yeah.
It's like that.
No, I mean, like, it's shocking to me how much content that I consumed when I was younger is so, so problematic.
Oh, God, yeah. Who was I just talking... Oh, I was just talking with one of my friends the other night about the TV show Friends.
Oh.
You know, and how, like, you go back and watch it and go, wow, this was a little bit racist and also homophobic. And also, they were living in New York and there were no black people. Like,
oh, and it was what also, like, this? It was also, like, fat-shaming.
Oh, God. Oh, there's just so many problems with that show.
Yeah.
Or what about Frasier? Have you tried rewatching Frasier?
No, I can't. I just can't.
It's a disappointment.
It's a disaster. Frasier's such a disaster of a show.
Yeah.
I loved it, too.
Did we talk about this in the show with Curb Your Enthusiasm? We talked about this and we didn't talk about this in the show. But I, like, rewatched...
Oh,
like,
yeah. I remember
I started watching the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And just, like, I couldn't. I just couldn't. Because, like, you know... I don't know. JB Smoove, I feel like, is like a stereotype that he's allowed himself to be. I don't know. I'd love to not be the white person critiquing that, though. So someone else write into the show and
I know. I do know that that's. I know that that's JB Smoove's thing. The interesting thing to me about JB Smoove is that he is, like, he's in almost all of the things that Louis C.K. produces.
Yeah.
Like he's one of like Louis C.K.'s friends. And so
terrible
I'd be,
to women though.
Well no, I'd be interested to see if he's said anything about it. I mean he probably, you know, I don't want to assume that he has or hasn't, but I
right,
mean
yeah.
Come on, Moody, jump up. Come
she's
on, baby.
So tiny.
There we go. Got a cat. Got a cat on my lap.
Come on, Josh. I wanna hear your thoughts. Talk to me about the Hiya Flat.
Didn't we do this already?
Not on the show.
Okay, so here's... Okay. This is so hard. Okay, because...
Let's not mention anybody... We don't have to mention anybody's names.
Right? Oh, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
No, here's my problem, is that it ultimately comes down to two things. Actually, one thing, really. It comes down to one thing. What do you care about more? Putting butts in seats or somehow preserving the integrity of an art that never had that much integrity to begin with? So saying that, I think it's fine to sensationalize the Hiya Flat. I think it's really cool to hear... Okay. Singers will be the first people to tell you. Go on any singer forum, talk to singers. They will be the first people to tell you. You know what singers are? Singers are athletes. We train. It's endurance, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what people who like sports and like athletes like? Records, world records, and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, it's not that dissimilar. We like to... If someone sang the highest note anyone's ever sung at the Met, people are interested in that because it's an extreme. If someone sang the loudest note ever sung, people are interested in that, and it's an extreme. So I don't think... That doesn't bother me, and if it gets like five more people to click on an article, probably more than five, you know, because at the Times, click on an article about a new opera... That's great. I think this new opera is problematic, given So that's a different conversation. But if you're just separating this separating entirely and just talking about this one note, which was so funny, it's stupid. It lasts like literally half a second in like a laugh written in.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I know I have some friends who were upset, who think talking too much about high notes like hindered them as an artist because then they became obsessed. But I personally think that's on the system and on the voice teachers rather than, because I know the same thing. I love verismo and dramatic voices. I don't have a dramatic voice. Mm-hmm. So that's not something that that's something that I beat myself up over when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And got in my way that way. So I get it because I'm the same way in that capacity.
Yeah.
But that's based on our own insecurities, and I don't think that because of that we shouldn't let people talk about it.
For sure.
I also think that it's worth noting, though, that the biggest hits, the big sellers that people do constantly, don't feature a single fucking high note in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, La Boheme and Carmen, I'd say, are the two most produced operas in the country, probably, mm-hmm. right? No high singing in the, I mean, you know, there's some soprano high, there's C's in Boheme.
But I mean, like, mezzos can sing C's.
And they did. I mean, Marilyn Horne sang Mimi and Musetta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't think Jeudi in Carmen goes up above a B or B flat.
I would almost make
it's a B. That's the highest it goes.
So
I would almost make the argument that the things that are famous, that the things that we know are range extremes, are like the operas are famous because of the range extremes.
I mean, I would say that Magic Flute is.
And I would even say, and obviously there are people that love Tales of Hoffman, and I love Tales of Hoffman, but I also think that the most noted fact about the Tales of Hoffman is a dollar.
It is, but it's not the recognizable tune. The recognizable tune's the duet, is Belle and Louis.
Yeah, you're right.
No,
you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
That one I knew before I knew anything about the opera. I didn't know that I love the doll aria. And the doll aria makes a bit of, like, when Rachel Gilmore made her Met debut covering Kathleen Kamen, went on and sang the doll aria and interpolated it in A flat.
Mm.
I guess so. Audrey Luna's note's an A. She's singing an A flat, right? So it was a big deal and really cool. But it's not like she's singing Brunhilde, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. she's having a lovely little, you know, lovely career. I don't even know if she's been back at the Met, quite frankly. Well, she's very talented, and I hope she does. But I don't, like, I think it's just like, here is something we're noting, and I don't think it's, like, changing the face of opera. I don't think suddenly everyone's going to be expected to have these high notes. Mm-hmm. Just because people have been, doing this kind of stuff for years. The Queen of the Night's been around forever.
Yeah.
But even that being said, a lot of, like, big soprano roles don't go above a C.
Well, so, I want to, if it's cool, I want to say why I think this is really fruitful to talk about. Because I think that it can be really easy on Facebook and in social media in general for folks to get backed and kind of pigeonholed into ideological corners. Sure. And I know that's something that I find myself doing very frequently. And so I find it really important, especially because, I had a very aggressive stance on this issue, and I feel confident, and I felt this way when you and I talked about it in person, that we very much agree way more than we disagree.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really important thing too. And I don't think I don't want to like not have one without the other. Like I think that nuanced dialogue in discourse is really important. And I think that disagreeing in public is a really important thing. But I also think that I wish that we could do that. And I'm not saying I'm good at this. Like, I'm not saying that I'm the role model that everybody, because I'm not. I'm like a depressed and manic and have poor mental health and lash out, and I'm a bad person. Like, that's
like, okay. All right.
Maybe I'm not a bad, and whatever. My point here is that, we all told want the same thing, which is the art form to flourish and find the best ways to do that. And I think that for me, like, I don't disagree with anything that you said. I think that the fact that it is a high note is exciting and is something worth noting and is, you know, interesting. I think the thing for me is that the other side of that argument, and I think the other side of that argument never was really trying to concede that.
Yeah.
I just think that for some reason, you know, and obviously there's critiques to make with my side of the argument, but my critique for the other side of the argument is that mainstream, the New York Times and just general kind of mainstream, and I would say this about like the New Forum and just kind of like generally like the way that we talk about our art form is that we really condense it and we really don't consider, I mean, you know, there are some really remarkable new music, performance art almost type things that are happening, especially even if you want to just look at Chicago as like a subset of that. There's like so much happening and so little that is on any kind of a scale that people are paying attention to. And I mean, like, you know, I've been living in Chicago for 4 years. I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of grassroots stuff. I've went to school here. I know a lot of people here. And seeing the things that the really interesting and cool things that I have the privilege as a person that's lived here for a while have seen, and then seeing 80% of the people that I know who are awesome, interesting artists doing really cool things, not seeing everything, and not talking about attending it, but being aware of it, being mm-hmm. aware of what the spectrum is, like being aware of what's going on, like in a neighborhood over from yours. I think that we're really missing that, and I don't know if that's the media companies to blame, if it's the fact that like we're a Chicago Tribune town, and so like we don't pay attention to anything if it's not Trib recommended or you know, nothing like media isn't like legitimate unless it's legitimate, and I don't know. And so that's kind of my thought on that. And at a certain point, I think in social media, we don't have a way to like be like, pay attention to this unless it's divisive. Because it's like,
That's my main takeaway with it, is that would this opera have been featured in the New York Times had it not been for the High Note?
I would say probably, and the only reason is most of the time, like the Met does New Opera or something, it is in the Times. The article just isn't shared the way this one was, and that was the big difference to me. Like, I think that the Times wrote multiple articles about this, mm-hmm. and they definitely wrote articles about the Sarajevo opera they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it would be
okay.
I just don't think it would have been
as shared. Viral. And, yeah. So that's, I mean, well then, you know. Then I guess that the point I'm going to make is kind of moot, because the point I was going to make was that if it takes, you know, if composers know that their work will get a lot more attention if there are vocal extremes in it,
yeah.
I think it sets a bad precedent for what folks are going to be expected to do.
Yeah.
I think it does put a lot of strain on performers and does trickle down into what teachers are telling their students in order to be more competitive. Because I think that folks coming up in new music, you know, folks in universities who are finding their voices in composing are seeing the attention that works with vocal extremes are getting, and they're saying, well, I can certainly, you know, write ledger lines on this piece of sheet music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's bad practice. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
and so that's my hesitation with it, is that it just deepens the well of the crazy expectations that singers have put on them, that they have to look like ingenues no matter what their vocal type. They have to, you know, have you know, 4-octave ranges. They have to, you know, be able to dance and do acrobatics and have a 4-octave range while being hung upside down from mm-hmm. a glowing eye in Hamburg. So like, it's just like one more thing that is going to be expected of you. And that's not to say that vocal extremes should not be written, because there are folks who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's seen as the way to have your piece sold, then I think it's not good for the singers.
I agree.
Yes. And I think that, I do think that this composer in particular is problematic.
He's a trash heap.
He's a, yeah, because he had a quote saying something along the lines of, soprano high C's are boring, what else do you have? And that's like, that's a very shitty precedent. Because like I said, you know, like we, like you just said, there's some people who are going to have that crazy high extension, but that's not like a, that shouldn't be an expectation.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yes. And there's incredible singers who don't have above a high C.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't have to, or shouldn't, because they're going to, you know.
They can do amazing things below that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want to, like, the composer is... I've heard really terrible things about this composer.
Yeah, over that, and that is the big, that is one of the big negatives for me in this whole situation, is that all the sensation is just because it's coming from this guy who wrote it because he's an asshole.
But that's kind of the, that's the other side of this, where, you know, you mentioned that the New York Times really spotlit this opera, and I don't like the New York Times, so I don't keep track of the spectrum of what articles the New York Times publishes about opera. I just don't. So if I'm missing something, please write into the show. Would love to hear about it. Would love to read it. We'll read it on air and all that stuff. That being said, if the New York Times, which my suspicion is that the New York Times has wrote 4 articles on new opera in the last year, and then 3 of them have been about this opera at the Met. And if you're going to tell me that the people that donate to the largest opera company in New York City and aren't similar to the people that donate to the largest newspaper, liberal-leaning newspaper in New York City, I'm not going to believe you. Because you're going to tell me that 2 major, like, neoliberal institutions are not tied hand in hand. Like, it's just not possible. And, like, I appreciate that the Met does new opera and does commissions and stuff like that, but if you're doing 1 a year, and that's not something that the major media, they do 2 a year. Sorry. I don't really.
They did 2 this year, right?
What was the other one?
I don't remember, but I remember reading that this was the second new opera that had been produced at the
Met. Well, they did the Mouly last year.
Last year they did the Sarajevo. Or was that 2 years ago?
Well, I don't know. You know what? Honestly. And the fact that I don't know, that's a problem, I think.
Well, too. The reason that I'm pretty sure that it's 2 is that in a Facebook discussion, I was told in no uncertain terms by someone that they had just produced 2. So,
I also don't get why when folks critique major institutions, there's this whole backlash of like, oh, don't, you're not allowed to do that. And it's like, I don't know.
But,
sorry.
So, but at the same time, the Met's doing more than a lot of major opera houses across the world. So, right. Like, that is worth noting.
For sure.
And in a lot of ways, places like, you know, it's the double-edged sword, because places like that also keep our art form alive in some ways.
Well, it's like, and I'm going to relate it to politics. It's like, you know, folks that, and sorry if you voted for Hillary, I voted for Hillary, but it's, or you know what, let me not do that. Let me talk about Obama.
Don't touch that.
It's like critiquing Obama. It's about like the idea of, if you find yourself to the left of a kind of more centrist Democrat, it's way better to elect a centrist Democrat and try and push them left than it is to elect a dumpster fire Republican. And then, of course, that to me is like why I would never be like, oh, vote third party in a major election. It's like, I personally feel like if you did not vote for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, I don't respect you as a political mind. I just don't, because if you're going to tell me that you would rather have had Donald Trump in office than try and push Hillary Clinton left, fuck you. Because, like, that's just the wrong move. There are people that are daily affected by the Trump regime, and if... Sorry. Anyway. So my point to that end is to say that it's way better to see these major institutions doing something interesting, and then I think that those of us that want to see more of that, push for that. Attend the events when you can. Like make a point to be like, I support this.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, I think when Chicago Fringe came on like 6 months ago or something to talk about Lucrezia.
Yeah.
We you know, we talked about how important it is to support art at every level.
Yeah.
That, you know, these higher institutions, you know, the Lyrics, the Mets, the, you know, La Scalas of the world, you know, they need our support just as much as, for example, we do. So I think that, you know, it's important. But then, you know, on one hand, it is very important to support these institutions. On the other hand, it is also very important to critique them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts? Or otherwise, I have another thing we could talk about that'll be fun.
No, I mean, I think that's like a pretty... there's no right answer. There's problems, but there's also things that are...
laudable.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just always how it's going to be with these giant artistic institutions. Yeah. And it's the kind of... the conversation has to continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate... and I appreciate folks that... that on both sides that are willing to have the conversation and are willing to be, you know, people that have the conversation. I think that we need that. So the next thing I really want to talk about is actually, I shared a meme. Did y'all see the Keurig stuff?
Yeah.
I think that's a really funny fucking thing.
Oh, God. It's,
which I shared.
You don't know about this?
What's happening with Keurig?
Oh, my God. This is great. Okay, great, great, great.
Whoa, you know what?
Oh, it's so funny.
Well, so, do you know about Roy Moore?
Yes.
The Alabama Senate. Is he in the Senate?
Probably.
Fucking, of course. You know, the major, like, the voted in Republican, like, part of the, like, institution, like, holding an official place currently. So there are quite a few claims out there, for those that don't know, that he has dated teenage women. And I
when he was 32, he dated 32. A 14-year-old.
Yeah, and he that apparently was went on. We caught the Seth Meyers
segment, A Closer Look.
Yeah, on it. And he played snippets of Roy Moore talking to Fox News about it. And Fox News,
specifically Sean Hannity, yeah.
And they were trying so hard to be like, Roy, like, did you date teenage women? And he was like, I don't know, I might have.
Well, they were, the whole bit was that they were trying, Sean Hannity was trying so hard to just, like, you know, throw him as many softball questions so that there was even just, like, the slightest glimmer of innocence, mm-hmm. and he would not fucking take it.
Yeah.
He would not take it. He was just, like, yeah, but it's not, I think, like, the punchline of that whole segment was, well, yeah, but it's not like you lured the 14-year-olds into a van full of knives and then you dismembered them or anything, right? And he's like, well, you know, I'm in my 70s. I was 32 at the time. That's a long time in between. It's kind of hard to remember. Like, yeah. So it's that was, like, the gist of the conversation, that he, like, would not... He was so, like, blind to the fact that he was being thrown life rafts.
Yeah, so I guess after that segment, I don't really know the finer details of how this kind of all played out. And so if you do at home, write into the show. As always, the Daniel Johansson checking your sources. Please write into the show. So there was another segment about it, and I guess Fox News came out on some segment in support of Roy Moore.
Hannity, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
The whole thing is that it's Sean Hannity, of course. So what happened was a couple of people were kind of like, are you going to... basically, you're supporting, like, a child molester. And Keurig was like, I'm out!
Yeah.
So they withdrew their advertising from Hannity.
Yep.
And so now, people... I'm so obsessed with this because there's, like large population of Republicans who are furious with... or far right, whatever. They're furious with Keurig. So they literally, like, this whole thing where they were smashing their Keurigs,
mm-hmm.
because they withdrew their advertising from someone who supports a child molester.
Welcome to 2017.
It's incredible. Also, the people, the backpedaling people are doing, comparing it to, like, biblical times and stuff, just to try to, because they're so desperate not to let a Democrat have his spot that they're like, but no, you know, there's biblical precedent. So there's some, they're that's disgusting.
So yeah.
Well,
And then Sean Hannity went on to be like, I will buy people Keurigs to destroy.
So they're giving all this money. Republicans are like, so bad at boycotting things.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually going to be my question. Is that, I guess, and obviously I think that Keurig pulling out of, you know, advertising on Sean Hannity as a person who, like, is supporting a child molester, obviously that's laudable. Yeah. And it's like, duh. I'm wondering, in the court of public opinion, what the difference is between Republicans boycotting Keurig versus, or right-leaning folks boycotting Keurig versus left-leaning folks boycotting Uber?
Well,
it's obvious, but I'm just like...
Well, my big thing is just the way that people boycott it is so differently. The way the left boycotts it is by using Lyft instead. The way the right boycotts it is by buying more of the thing.
Okay. To break them.
And this is not the first time. Didn't they do, like, they did something like that at Starbucks? They did something, like, there was something else where they were, like, buying cups of coffee and writing, like, putting Jesus' name. I don't know, forget what bullshit they were doing. Either way, they're putting, their way of boycotting things is by putting a lot of money into those companies.
Or, like, the NFL. Anytime that they want to boycott a player for the NFL, they buy the
jersey and then burn the jersey. Yeah, so I think a smart person would start buying stock in the companies that Republicans want to boycott, because someone's about to funnel a lot of money into those.
That's actually, yeah.
I wonder if there's a bump, because first of all, I'm sure liberals are like, well, I'll support Keurig because of this and buy some, and then the right's like, I'm going to buy more to destroy.
Which don't. If you're listening to the show,
absolutely not. Like, the
I don't mean to craft coffee shame. If there's anybody out there that really enjoys Keurig for a really good reason, I'd love to hear why.
For people, they're busy and stuff, it's like a quick way to consume, you know.
It's
good at offices and whatever, but...
Yeah, I mean,
it's, like, not my ideal method.
The dance studio that I was a voice teacher at, they had a Keurig, and I used the shit out of that Keurig.
Of course you did. If it's in your office and it's there, and you want coffee, and you're sleepy,
you go to the Keurig machine. The move is to do the flavored shit, so you, like... brewing, like, one of those, like... One, like, Colombian pods.
Oh,
like,
nope.
Why the fuck would you do that? Just go with hazelnut. Don't be a dick, because, like, what you're basically doing is you're pouring yourself hot syrup at that point, which is always pleasurable, you know?
Here's a... I've told Maureen this before. I love flavored coffee. I do not like hazelnut coffee. For some reason, it does not do it for me.
I have, strong emotional ties to hazelnut coffee.
Okay, that's fair.
Specifically, not, you know, nothing, like, deeply sentimental, but it just, like... Honestly, it reminds me of that teaching job and being freezing cold in my teaching studio, and then like during a break in my schedule, like going into the main office and brewing myself a hot cup of shitty hazelnut coffee and being warm.
Yep.
I'm like, that's a good hazelnut coffee.
I think that's a good association.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's why, it's not like I'm going out of my way to drink terrible hazelnut coffee, but if I find myself in a situation where it's either drowsiness or Keurig hazelnut coffee, I'm going Keurig hazelnut coffee.
God, yes.
So there's one other thing that I want to talk about, something that you mentioned earlier made me think of it, which is, I think that horseshoe theory is bullshit.
Can I really quickly... Wait, is that what... were you commenting on my court of public opinion thing?
Because it was specifically you were talking about...
Uber versus...
Right.
So I want to say that obviously... I think that with the way the left is boycotted Uber is way better than fucking... I was just interested in that take.
Well, so here's my... I think this is really relevant to that take, because it's something that I think about a lot as a person that considers himself pretty far left. I think the idea that the far left and the far right are similar is, like, fucking terrible. And I think that, like, anyone that's like, I'm a radical centrist and we need to hear both sides is like... No.
Being a radical centrist is not a thing.
It's starting to become a thing.
How can you be a radical centrist?
That's because like an oxymoron. That's like the literal lamest thing I've ever heard.
That's really an oxymoron.
No, it is. That's the point. That's the why it's...
It involves mayonnaise on white bread sandwiches.
I mean, you got to understand flat earthing exists. Believing that the earth is
flat. That has to be one of the most disappointing things about 2017 is how much I've had to hear about flat earthers.
Yep.
Of all the disappointments this year, that's really up there.
Believing the moon landing was faked. Like, it's like we live in a world where fact is like so hard to understand or like to ratify, you know?
I think that's one of the downsides of living in a world where it's very easy to fake things, is that things that happened are being questioned because it's like, oh, well, you could just fake that.
But then it's also like, The Onion is satire. Learn that The Onion is satire. World. The Onion.
Do you still have people sharing
satire?
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure I purged all those people from my friends list. Yeah. Anytime someone posts, oh, I love that. I mean, like,
my God.
That being said, The Onion has been posting some real things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get most of my news from satire sites, Reductress and The Onion and Clickhole. Those are my top news sources.
Fucking love Clickhole. Oh my God.
Reductress is like one of my...
It's the best website.
Oh my God.
It's the best.
Well, anyway, so the only thing I really want to say about Horseshoe Theory is that it's comparing folks that want inclusivity, that want people to be treated fairly, and that want like a better world for low income folks, and to people that want to hurt marginalized folks. Like, the alt-right are marching on white supremacy. And so like the idea of being like, well, they're both on the far ends of the spectrum, so maybe they're more alike than we think they are. It's like, no, they're on different sides of the spectrum because like the spectrum in American politics is whether or not you're racist at this point. Like, we're so far from the idea of political science. Like, we don't... Like, the thing that's amazing to me is, like, as I've been researching more and more understanding political science in the last couple of years, all of American politics, all of it, exists in the top right corner of a political chart. All of it. And so, like, we're not living in a world where, like, you know... What actually is the Libertarian Party?
Nothing I want to...
Like... I don't understand how people think that the American political system is the be-all, end-all of what... I mean, look at even what American politics looked like a century ago.
End-all, be-all.
What did I say?
Be-all, end-all.
I do that. I do that a lot.
Yeah, but it's wrong. Dear Scoppy Magazine... Daniel doesn't understand idioms.
I don't. I make them up. I wrote them all.
No. Dear Scoppy Magazine, on your last questionable internet opinions, Daniel claimed that he invented all of the idioms. I find issue with that because I think that's wrong because Daniel's only 25.
When in Rome.
Dear Scoppy Magazine,
a bird in the hand is worth two different calling the kettles black.
Dear Scoppy Magazine, Daniel really fucked up an idiom on the last questionable internet opinions. I take issue with this because I really like idioms.
Dear Scoppy Magazine, did Daniel just have a stroke on air?
Yes. I'm concerned for Daniel's health and want to make sure that after you finished recording that episode, you went and took him to an urgent care center.
I need to go to a doctor. Somebody recommend me a doctor.
I love my doctor.
Which doctor do you go to?
I go to Howard Brown Health, which is the best.
One of our neighbors, her partner is a nurse there.
Cool.
Amazing. Yeah, so they have a couple locations. I go to the one on Clark and Devon.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know Howard Brown, they're a very inclusive LGBTQ-friendly organization. Cool. Here in town. They also do well, I think, for underserved communities and have a lot of sliding scale payments, et cetera, et cetera. Love them. They're just good, and they're just super, you know, great with personal pronouns and all that kind of stuff. You know,
that does not surprise me because... Chris, who is the nurse, is trans,
mm-hmm.
and is like, he's also like in the Latinx, like the queer Latinx community, he's considered like a healer.
Okay.
He's like a former masseuse,
mm-hmm.
and like, or I think he is still a masseuse, but he's also a nurse now. And
well, yeah, so I found them because I in Boston I went to Fenway Health, which is a really cool organization that does a ton of research. I mean, they have an incredible facility, but they also just do a ton of research projects and studies on just trying to improve healthcare for LGBT individuals. And they did a lot of studies on helping more comfortable screenings for trans patients and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the best place in the world. So when I came here, I was like, I have to find somewhere like that. And luckily, being in a big city, we have Howard Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, and Howard Brown is really cool, especially in how, in like the different ways that they raise funds. Like, yes. Brown Elephant. Like
Brown Elephant. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Brown Elephant.
Like, we, when we were printing our magazine for like 2 weeks, we went into Brown Elephant. Oh, that was so stupid.
I want to just say that all the things that I've started in my life, I genuinely want to, by the end of my life, have them exist in a real way. I just want to say that. Like, and I feel, for some reason, that specifically made me want to say it. Because I feel like there are some projects that I start where people are like, oh, that's just, he's never going to continue that. No. I believe in everything.
Anyway, so, Dear Scoppy Magazine, I don't think that Daniel's going to finish printing those magazines. I don't know, but... Anyway, sorry, that was a bad thing.
You're never going to have a print version of the magazine, assholes.
All right, anyway.
Dear Scoppy Magazine, print is dead.
I said that at a print store today. It was really funny to me.
Yeah, because you're a dick. Dear Scoppy Magazine, it sounds like Daniel said something really inconsiderate to someone at a print shop today.
Which, shout out Martha May Arts...
Art Supplies.
Art Supply Store. That place is fucking awesome.
That place is amazing.
Yeah.
I stopped in there when we were looking for silent auction donations for Opera and Tap.
Yep.
And we met the owner, and that store is...
Did you meet the dog?
I don't think the dog was there.
Oh my god.
It's named after this dog named Martha May, who is just the most... I hope that, for some reason, if the woman who owns the store is listening, I mean this in the best possible way, the most pathetic dog.
What are you talking about pathetic? It was a good dog! She was
just, like, so... Like, how moody is. Like, she was just so, like, sleepy.
She was in a basket.
Yeah.
Oh, baby!
She was just so tired, you know? Like, in the best way.
She was so sleepy. Yeah. She was a very sleepy dog.
Yeah.
She wasn't pathetic. She was very regal.
Well, I mean, I'm using the word like the sonata pathétique or whatever. You know, very like... Oh. Anyway.
In a very French way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dog was full of ennui.
Yeah. We should wrap up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're like at 57 minutes. We're like...
Jesus, we went over, actually. That's cool.
Yeah. Josh, do you have anything upcoming?
Okay, a couple things. First of all, this is a plug for something I'm not in, but I'm seeing As One this weekend, and nice. I'm very excited about it at Woo! Chicago Fringe. It's great. It's a opera about a trans woman and her transition, and it's being conducted by a trans conductor, and it's all very exciting.
Yes.
So you should all go see that. I am... Opera and Tap's next show is this coming Tuesday, the 21st. It's our Holiday Him and She show. I'll be singing a couple ditties on that. Hopefully, I don't know if you all can hear how tired and useless my voice is right now. I'm not really sure why. It's been this way all week. Hopefully, I'll be able to sing. We'll find out. Come and find out if I can sing. It's at the Elbow Room. 8 p.m.
A week from yesterday, right?
A week from yesterday.
Yeah.
It'll kick off your Thanksgiving the right way.
With sweaters.
With, yeah, where...
Are y'all keeping the ugly sweater contest going?
Yes, ugly sweater contest.
Good.
It's going to be...
Good.
Yeah, so those are my little plugs, I think.
I need to get an ugly Christmas sweater.
I looked for one the other day on the internet, and they were so expensive, and I was like, I'm too poor for this to wear.
I'm just going
to
go to a thrift
store. They
get more
expensive every year, because they get more, like,
it's more,
a thing that people want.
Yeah, I have to just get one.
They're like pumpkin spice lattes.
I don't think the pumpkin spice lattes are more expensive.
No, they're $100. Have you gone to Starbucks
more
lately?
Are they $100?
They're $100 at every Starbucks. Supply and demand, Maureen.
The pumpkin flavored industry is definitely making more money year by year.
I'm down for it. I like pumpkin things.
Do you hear that truck?
Yeah. It's the pumpkin industry.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen
Smith. I am big. It's the podcast that got small.
Ouch.
What the fuck?
Sunset Boulevard?
Oh.
God.
I thought that was just you being a horrible person.
No, it's a Sunset Boulevard. I am big. It's the pictures that got small. Okay. It's a silent film star. Whatever.
No, I've seen Sunset Boulevard. I've seen Sunset Boulevard. I just didn't remember. I was like, what? It was so out of left field. Hi, baby. Well done.
I just didn't know what to say, so I quoted Sunset Boulevard. Don't worry about it.
Is that your default? Is that your go-to?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, cool.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to keep up with what we're up to,
if you want to keep up with
what head over to scoppymag.com. I'm having a stroke right now.
What did I say?
Dear Scoppy Magazine.
Head over to scoppymag.com. We have articles there.
That's where we post all of our articles.
You can find them. There are good ones. You can keep up with us on social media in all the regular places. On Facebook, we're under Scoppy Magazine. What is up with me?
I don't know.
On Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr,
Pinterest,
Google Play,
not Pinterest,
Radio Public, and iTunes Podcasts, we're under Scoppy Mag. You know what? Is there anybody here that would benefit from us being on Pinterest? Because
no. Okay. There's no one here that thinks that. Dear Scoppy Magazine.
Maureen's How wrong.
Dare you. Dear Scoppy Magazine. I love Pinterest. I am the CEO and founder of Pinterest. And I'm very disappointed.
How dare you slander my website? Oh my god.
We spell Scoppy Mag S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G.
And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to
7-11,
do.
7-11, make a wish.
What?
It's when it turns 7-11, you wish for Slurpees, right? No?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me.
Dear Scoppy Max. I don't... Jesus.
Oh, my God. Everything that we've been able to do up to this point has been through your generosity, so first of all, thank you so much. Second of all, we could use a little more help. If you're in a position to give, you can head to our website, scoppymag.com, go to our About section. There are a couple ways that you can give. You can give on a one-time basis. If you choose to do that, you will have our eternal gratitude. If you choose to give on a monthly level, some cool things will happen. First of all, our next two donors at any level will receive a free bag of Half-Wit coffee. At $10 a month, you'll receive one free session per month of studio photography with Daniel in our space. And at $25 a month or above, you'll be a part of our affiliate program. We believe that such generosity during this time deserves recognition, so our affiliates will be featured on our website with a link to their website or social media as a means of advertisement and will receive a Scoppy affiliate window sticker. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Thanks all of you for listening to us. Go out there and create a thing.
Dear Scoppy Magazine, don't tell me what to do.